Welcome to the Policy and Planner English podcast. I'm your host, Helen Laban. Right now, we're putting the finishing touches on a series of episodes about care coordination. That term covers a lot of ground, but since the theme of this season is food access and healthcare, you can guess what element we'll focus on. The part where we connect patients to resources that can help with food. Before we move on from the screening part of addressing food insecurity, I wanted to briefly discuss a related topic, using predictive analytics to anticipate which patients may need assistance. This topic didn't make it into the full-length episodes, but it shouldn't be ignored. There are a few reasons why healthcare providers might be interested in these predictive techniques. We've already established that healthcare practices will always undercount the number of patients who need food assistance. This is true for a variety of reasons. Maybe a patient feels shame about their situation and doesn't volunteer the information. Maybe they just haven't come in recently for a visit where screening might take place. Or a practice only has capacity to screen a subset of patients, like pediatrics, or those who already have chronic conditions related to diet. Or maybe we fall behind because food insecurity levels are changing faster than providers are seeing those patients for preventive care. In earlier episodes, we discussed options for healthcare practices to deal with this issue, including by relying more heavily on community-wide needs assessments and opening up food resources to anyone who wants to participate, sort of the universal school lunch approach. Predictive analytics is another way to address this problem, with the key feature that it lets a practice have a very targeted strategy without necessarily screening every individual patient. The basic idea here is that if we can have a big data set for analysis, we can begin to pull correlations between different patient characteristics. From these correlations, we can build out to test what factors are most predictive. The red flags that say food insecurity is a high risk. And we can begin to group patients by relevant similarities, like the group of patients who watch Great British Bake Off and buy whole ingredients at the supermarket. Maybe they're the least likely to need assistance with cooking skills. Okay, that last one is obvious and invented. Here's another example. When I was in grad school, one of my research projects showed that there were two groups of students very interested in local food. The larger group were students who cared a lot about flavor and were price sensitive at the same time. The smaller group was students who cared a lot about social cause elements, like vegetarianism, and were not price sensitive. Guess where local food tended to appear? In vegetarian, organic, ultra-healthy, high-priced specials, leaving out the largest customer group and making beef farmers really angry at the same time. In case you wonder why you might see a lot of local burgers, they make sense. Which segues well into our next point. The big data sets and the statistical techniques that could drive analytics work for food insecurity already exist because they're behind the major marketing campaigns we see every day. Companies are constantly seeking out who is likely to buy their products and, once they've found these potential customers, what message will get the best response. Applied to a greater social good, we can say that healthcare practices are interested in knowing which patients are likely to need food assistance, and what approach will make them most likely to participate in the program being offered. Will someone respond well to messages about how a better diet can lead to overall better health as we age? Will someone else have additional challenges around transportation and only respond to a program if it addresses these as well? Or maybe the key for some people will be community connections, so they want to be part of a group that provides food while also supporting local farmers and offering group dinners. And yes, we did just use local food examples twice. Don't worry, there will be at least one episode dedicated to that topic as well. These analytics can also help healthcare practices hone their offerings. For example, a practice might not have capacity to launch 24 new programs, but they also know that one option won't serve everyone. So maybe some clever analysis of their patient base will help them narrow it down to the three that will reach the maximum number of people. It's a new spin on the classic tale of marketing pasta sauce. A classic tale that I will link in the show notes at plainerenglish.org. Now that's a very basic summary. There are many variations on this theme, including different statistical models and also different ways of applying the models. The Weizmann Institute is currently offering a series of webinars on technology tools and social determinants of health, which goes into detail with some great examples, and I'll link that in the show notes as well. Again, that address is plainerenglish.org. This strategy does raise questions. There's real trepidation about privacy and how far down the road we want to go with people making predictions about our health. It's safe to say that nobody wants to do this work without appropriate guardrails in place. At the same time, you could argue that we already live in a world of constant data-driven targeted advertising. Why not let some of that effort go to a much, much greater cause of getting people the food assistance they need? Another question is the cost compared to benefit of setting up these systems. Statistics are exceptionally fallible. No algorithm is perfect. And in particular, in rural areas like Vermont, you begin to see a lot of noise in the model as it shrinks down to an ever smaller population pool. Do we want to put time and money into perfecting predictive models when it might go towards old-fashioned solutions closer at hand? Maybe, if it truly can make an order of magnitude difference in impact. And some applications may also help save resources. If fancy statistics can help a small healthcare practice sort through all the different models of food assistance out there in the world and come up with the three best ones to pilot for their particular patients, that might save not only a lot of money, but also years and years of work. The future is now when it comes to these techniques. Plenty of practices use some variation on predictive analytics, and they're building from pretty well-established approaches in other fields. So check out the additional resources in the notes at plainerenglish.org, ponder, and check back in a few days when we'll be talking about care coordination here on the Policy in Plainer English podcast.